You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Well, it's good to have you here, and it's great to always open up the word of God and learn God's word together. I want to say that this message here is a message that God really spoke to me for you this week, and I'm preaching this message here, and I need you to understand I'm preaching this message here with a humble heart to share with you what is on my heart for our church, and it's not condemning, it's not pointing fingers, that's not my intention, and so please refrain from sending emails or anything afterwards. And I want you to hear my heart and hear my tone and understand where I'm coming from. Okay, statistically they say that we live in a country where Christianity is declining, yeah? They did a consensus in 2021. Here's a graph on the screen behind me that in 2021, 43.9% of Aussies, Australians, considered themselves as Christians. So just, you know, around 40%. If you rewind back 50 years, in 1971, it was a whopping 86.2%. And so Christianity in our country is declining at a scary pace. All right? And churches are being closed every weekend in Australia, massively in Europe and the US. And we need to ask ourselves the question, why is it the case? Why is it that people are leaving the church? Why is it that every 5-10 years when we have these surveys, Aussies are saying, no, I don't see myself as a follower of Jesus Christ. And so for parents with children, this is something that we have to really consider and ask ourselves the question, why is it the case? And I have a sneaking suspicion it has to do with the consumeristic mentality that we have as people, that society is all about me, 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 consuming. And that's crept into the church. And that could be a reason why people are leaving the church, because my needs are not being met. There are four misunderstanding or misconception of the church that some people think that this is the church, right? So I'll just quickly go over these four things. The first one, right, is that a lot of people think that the church is like Chemist Warehouse. Now don't laugh, because it's true. There's this understanding that if I have a pain in me, I go to my local chemist store, the drug store, fill myself up with some prescription, and the pain will go away. Is that right? And so some people think that the church is like the drugstore. I come to church with my pain. I be part of church. I sing a few songs. I come on Sunday. There's a bit of therapy. I leave, and hopefully my pain will go away. And that's why I go to church. There's something wrong with me, and I need it to go away, and I think church is the solution to my pain. Some people think that church is like your Caltech's petrol station. The Caltech petrol station. You need to fill up your spiritual tank. Yeah, your juices are running low. Therefore, you need to come so that the tank is filled up. You know, what can you give me? How can you fill me up? Is it going to be a great worship experience? Is the message going to be catered for me? Will my spiritual tank be filled up? And if it is, great, I'm good to go for the next 3 to 4 weeks, and I'll see you next month. Because that's what church is for some people. Misconception number three, it's like your Costco or your Meijer store. It's the one-stop place for everything. It meets all your need at the best price. It's convenient because it's just around the corner from home. There's something for everyone. There's something for the kids. There's something for my raging teens. It's a great service at a great low price. You know, there's ministry for me. There's something for my husband. And the teaching is pretty good. then I stay. And fourthly, church for some people is like your Hoyts cinema. It's a great place to escape the troubles of this world. Come to church, be part of church, get entertained. It's like the VMAX gold class experience. And hopefully you would leave the service or leave the Connect group with a big, huge smile on your face. What do they all have in common, people? What do they all have in common? Entertain me, fill me. Is there something for my kids? Is there something for my family? Will my pain go away? It's all about me. Is that right? Consumerism has crept into the church. And I feel that if we don't get a good, proper understanding of the church, and if we think the church is like what it can offer to me, then if it doesn't meet my needs, then I'll be looking for a better deal down the road. And then what we have is we have Christians moving from one church or one, I guess, the same flock moving from one pen to the next, looking for what is best. And along the way, some Christians get discouraged and upset and they don't want to look anymore. And then the number decreases. Is that right? So instead of seeing more people come into faith in the church growing, it's the same flock moving. And as people are moving, they get lost, they get a bit tired, and the numbers decrease over time. And I think that's the reason why our country, there's a decline in Christianity. Not more people are coming to the kingdom, but people in the kingdom are moving because they think that what their church is offering is not good enough, that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. So they go, and we just go, and we go, and we do this, and some are dropped off along the way, and the number declines. That's what I think. And so what I want to do here is I want to give us a good biblical understanding of the church, that yes, we are still the hope of this world, that we are the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. We are broken yet beautiful, and we are all called to dig deep roots and belong so that ultimately it's for God's glory and for our good and the good of those around us. And I want to give us reasons why we should plug. And this is not a sales pitch to say that, you know, come to this church, we want you to be part of this church. No, and this is not to make you feel guilty, because maybe some of you, you're in the process of leaving this church. You know, it's up to you. But I want you just to hear what I have to say, because I feel that if I give you a good biblical understanding of the church and reasons why you ought to stay, you would stay put. Or if you decide to move to another church, you stay put at that church and you dig deep roots and you grow for God's glory and your good and the good of those around you. Amen. And if you have decided to say, this is my home, then you dig deep roots, that this is a place where you're going to grow and your kids are going to grow and your kids' kids are going to grow for the glory of God and the good of those around us. Amen. Here's a quote that I read from J.T. English just recently. He says, people are leaving the church because we have not given them any good reason to stay. And I want to give you three good reasons to stay this morning here. So you have your Bible. Turn with me now to Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 15 to 23, and I'll give you three reasons why you ought to dig deep, because this will give you a better picture of the church. Let me pray and we'll get to work. Father, I pray now that you would help me to teach your word, expound your word well, teach it with clarity. And I do pray, God, that we will understand that we are your body and we're here for a reason, God, and that we will dig deep roots in this church here, and that we'll grow and grow for your glory and for our good and the good of those around us. So, Lord, would you help me now as I teach your word? Holy Spirit, empower me. Use your servant right now. Speak to your people. Be our great teacher right now. We want to leave this morning, not just head information, but our hearts are moved that we want to change, God. We want to love you more. Bless this sacred time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Ephesians 1, 15 onwards. From verses 15 to 18, you can go there. And what you notice here is that Paul is reminding the Christians in Ephesus of their calling. God has called people out of darkness, out of death, into his family, and he forms a church. So this church is a church in Ephesus. In verse 16, Paul says, I'm thinking of you. I'm praying for you. Okay, verse 17, he begins to say, I want you to know God better. All right, I want you to know him more. Verse 18, he says, I want you to know the hope that you have in your calling. In other words, you have been saved and there is a hope today and there's a hope forevermore. Know that hope. But now turn your attention to verse 19. He talks about a power. He says, and I want you to know his incomparably great power. You notice that? It's an immeasurable power. It's a surpassing great power. And the text says, what? For us who believe. There is a power for the church. This is not individual. This is plural. He's saying, in the church of Ephesus, in the church at Sun Life, there is a power. It is an incomparably great power for those who believe, those who put their trust in Jesus, the church, there is this power. Now look in verse 20. He describes the power. That power is the same as the mighty strength. It's a strength that he, that's the Father, exerted when he, the Father, raised the Son, Christ, from the dead. The power that raised the Son from the dead, the power that seated the Son at the right hand in the heavenly realm is our power. This power here, the Father used to raise the Son, this power that the Father used to seat the Son is for you and for me. And we know that in the Bible, when Jesus is seated to the right to the Father, it talks about authority. It talks about the fact that he is above high and everything is subject under him. Therefore, he is the very top. He is all powerful. Everything is under his control. He is at the very top, Jesus, all powerful. And that power is your power and my power. Now, he begins to explain more about the authority of Jesus, verse 22 and 23. And God placed all things, not some things, all things under his feet. Whose feet? Jesus' feet. So in other words, when Jesus is seated, everything is under him. He is all conquering. He is all powerful. Now look carefully in the text. Appointed him to be head over everything for who? The church. You see that? Which is his body. The fullness of him who fills everything in every way. If we read this quickly, we miss what's going on. What the text is saying is this. The power of Jesus, where he is seated and everything is under his feet, is ultimately for the church, which is his body. He's the head, we are his body, and the head, listen carefully, operates through the body. The head operates through the body. You know, think about this. You know, if I want to pick up this glass here, right? It starts where? The head. Well, specifically the central nervous system, right? The brain. But for the writers of the Bible, it was the head. So it starts from the head, and there are signals which goes to my bicep or my arm so that I would extend the arm to grab the cup, the glass. But as soon as my hand touches the glass, my fingers, my four fingers and my thumb somehow contract so I can hold it. And then if I want a drink, then it comes towards my mouth. But where did it start? The head. Where does it end? In the body. And so what Paul is saying here is that Jesus, the head, he functions through the body. He needs us. We do his work on earth. Do you understand that? And I'm not saying for one moment that God, Jesus, cannot do things alone. Of course he can. God can do what he wants to do with us or without us. But the text tells us that he chooses to work through us, that he chooses to work through the body. Therefore, the body, you and I, the church, is still the hope of the world. You and I, we still do the work of Jesus here, and that's why we are very, very important to him and to this world. The church is the body of Christ. He is the head. We are the body, and we operate under his direction. Here's a wonderful quote or poem from Teresa of Avali, she writes this: Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. See, if we understand that we are the body of Christ, that he works through us, there is something wonderful here, that this place is not the Caltex petrol station. This place is not Hoyt Cinemas or the drugstore. This is the body of Christ, and he has made the decision to use you and I to do his work whilst we're still on earth, and we are still the hope of the world. Amen? This is what I want you to understand. And let me give you three reasons why we must remain in the body. Here's the first reason here. Is that the body is connected to the head. Now, that's very obvious. You're like, well, obvious, Pastor Ben. Well, the body is connected to the head. That's a very obvious point. It is. But here's the thing. Is that if you and I want to be connected to the head, Jesus, we must be part of the body. Think about that. The story of the Bible is God making and shaping his people into community, to bring his people together. God's basic unit is the church, not the individual. All right? You need to understand that. God intends us to be together as his body, not as individual. I need you, you need me. I need to be plugged in with you, and you need to be plugged in with me, and we form the body. And when we form the body, we are now connected to the head. And that understanding, it eliminates this idea of the solo lone ranger Christian, okay? You can be a Christian by yourself and say, I don't want to be part of the local church. I do my own thing on a Sunday morning. I'll go and do my walks on the beach. You can do that. But let me say this, is that it's going to be a lot difficult for you to be plugged in to the head if you decide to go solo. It is possible, but it's very, very challenging. What I've learned over the years is when I am part of the local church, when I'm part of the body, I'm part of you and you are part of me, and we are together, the body here, we are now connected to the head. And when we do that, wow, we're better together. And God, he offers that to everyone here, that you and I, we can be part of the body so that we can be connected to the head. I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know whether you're coming here to search for a place to call home. I don't know. I don't know whether you're on the way out of this church. I don't know. But what I want to encourage you is this. In this church here, as long as I'm the pastor here, I want you to know is that I need you and you need me, and we need to be together to be the body. And so when we are the body, we are now connected to the head. That it is very hard to be connected to the head as a solo individual. Very, very hard. Trust me, we need each other. We need to be in community so that we depend upon one another. The body of Christ needs the head, and the head is Jesus. We are the body. We need each other. That's why our vision this year is better together. We are better together. We are connected to the head when we are together. That's the reason why you need to plug and dig deep roots in a local church. You know, there is a moment in the Bible, if you remember in John 18, Peter, he cuts the ear off the high priest's servant, remember? They're at the garden and Jesus is about to be arrested. In verse 10, then Simon Peter, who had a sword, he drew it and he struck the high priest's servant, cutting off the right ear. I read that and I kind of go, I think that Peter was actually after the neck or the head, but for some reason he missed everything and went for the ear. Because Peter is a fisherman, all right? He's not a swordsman. If he was a swordsman, I reckon he would have done the job. I don't think he went for the ear. It's very hard to aim for the ear. No, I really mean that. It's very hard. I reckon he went for the head. He went for the neck. But for some reason, he missed. But there's a reason behind that. Because when the ear fell off, what was the very first thing that Jesus did? He picked up the ear. Is that right? Because an ear detached from the head is going to be a dying ear. And he picks up this blooded, bruised ear on the ground and he places it back into the head so there is life. I think that Jesus is the same today. I think that Jesus wants to pick some of us who maybe you feel right now not connected to the body. You feel right now that you're disconnected and you are dying slowly, and that you feel that no one cares about you and that Jesus has forgotten about you. No, Jesus loves you. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And he will pick you up. And he will place you back gracefully, gently to the body. So there's life back in you today. I really believe that. I really believe this church here, that we want to get to know you, that we want to have relationship with you, to have you part of the body so that you can have life, so that you will be connected to the head. Friends, that's a good reason to stay in the local church, because the body is connected to the head. Be connected to the body. Don't be a solo Lone Ranger Christian. It is just too hard. It is just too hard. We need each other. We are better together. And when we are the body, we are now connected to the head. And that's when things happen. Amen. That's the first point. Here's the second point here, is that the body has power for service. In verse 19, remember what Paul says? He says, I want you to know of the incomparably great power for us who believe. You see that? There is power in this church. There's power in this church here. There's power when we serve together. There's power when we minister together, when we pray together, when we work together. And that power comes from Jesus, the head. And it comes from the head to the body so that the body, you and I, would do the work on earth for his glory. Friends, there is so much work to be done in the city of Perth. There is, you know that. You know, we are a church here in Leaderville, not just for ourselves, all right? This is place here is not just for you so that you have a place to go to and that your kids can go to and a place that you can worship on Sunday and a place that you can meet some friends and hopefully meet a lifetime partner. That's not the goal of this church. There's work to be done. God has allowed us to exist in Leaderville because there's work to be done in the city. And I do know the work is hard and it's not easy, but I do know the Word of God says to me there is power from the head. Amen. Power from Jesus through the body to do the work here. And that's a very important reason to be part of the body. That you and I, when we're part of the body, God enables us and gives us power to do his work. But here's the thing that I've learned over the years of pastoring is that we can be part of the body, right? We can still be part of the body, but not respond to the direction of the head. Amen. We can still be part of the body and we know what the head is saying. We know what Jesus wants of us, but we're not responding to it. We say, I don't want to do it. And so we're still connected. We're still attending. We still tick the box that I'm a Christian when the consensus come out, but we are not responding to the direction and the order of the head, and our life is quite powerless. And we have reasons, good reasons why we're not responding. We have reasons why we don't want to do the work that God wants us to do. We say things like, well, I'm not ready yet, or I don't have the time, or I don't think I have anything to offer, right? Or this is not the right time. I have no energy. I'm so tired. Don't you know I work 45, 50 hours a week? I can't do this, and there's no power in us. But I want to say this to you, is that the Word of God is very clear that there is a power that you cannot measure, a power that is for you and for me as the body of Christ to do his work on earth. And for some of us, you have that power, but you just have to step out in faith and start operating in that power and stop giving yourself excuses and say, I can't and I won't because I don't have the energy. I don't have the ability. You do. The Word of God says you do. It's in you. Start stepping out. Start doing it and let God begin to work. You know, when we planned this church here, I have no idea what I was doing. And I think even to this day, I still have no idea what I'm doing. But I stepped out in faith, trusting God to do the work. And I'm so glad I stepped out in faith. As I look back today, after 12 years of doing this, there's a beautiful community. You look around, this place is packed. There's just, you know, my friends have said to me, Ben, the rule is that if the building gets to 80% capacity, you've got to make sure you create space. I know the rule. We're at 95% capacity. I'm not quite sure what to do next, but I'm trusting if I step out in faith, God's going to give me power. God's going to give me wisdom. For some of you, listen, you are connected to the body, but you're not responding. You're refusing to listen to the head. You say, I have no power. I can't do this. I'm saying to you, there is power. Step out in faith. Do it. Trust in God. Go with me to Mark chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. Let me read the word of God. Again, he, that's Jesus, he entered the synagogue, which is their church for the Jewish people, and a man there with withered hand, a man with a hand that's withered, it's shriveled. And they, that's the Pharisee, watched Jesus to see whether he would heal this man on the Sabbath so that they might accuse Jesus. And Jesus said to the man with a withered hand, come here. And he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And the man stretched it out, and his hand was restored. That's a very strange command from Jesus. The man's got a hand that's shriveled, that's withered. It's attached to the body. It's not functional. It's not moving. I don't think it can pick up anything. And Jesus says, I want you to stretch out. I want you to extend a hand. Do it. And I can imagine that man thinking, Jesus, what are you on about? You know I can't do this. You know that this is a dead hand. You know that this hand is shriveled, it's withered. How can I extend the hand? But Jesus says, extend the hand, stretch it out. And he did. And what does the text say? It's restored. I feel that that's a word for some of you this morning, that you are part of the body, but you are not responding to what the head is saying because you're using the excuse that I've got nothing to offer, that I am nothing, I'm not functional. And I won't do it. And Jesus is saying, stretch it out. Take a leap of faith. Go for it. And as you begin to stretch it out and you go for it, there's power to do God's work here. Don't be like the person who's like, no, I won't stretch out. Don't you know that I can't offer you anything? Don't you know that I'm a mess? Don't you know that I can't even get my life together? Don't you know of what I did last year? You know, God, I've got nothing to offer to you. I'm just going to be the way I am until the day you take me home. Don't be like that person, but rather stretch out, step out in faith and trust in the word of God. There is power, incomparably great power for those who believe. You have something to offer. You're in the body. And there's power and there's work to be done. And I want you to know that, Sunlight Church, that this is God's hope for the world. And we are part of it. And God wants us to do something. You can be news. I know you can. Young people, you can be news as well. Don't say, well, I'm too young. I got nothing to offer. You can start saving your friends. You can start sharing the gospel. You can even serve here. This church is yours just much as it is your parents. We can all do something. For someone who's new and you've only been here for a week, 2 weeks, and you go, well, you know what? I can't offer anything because I don't know anyone here. I spoke to someone this morning on the welcome team. It's their first time serving and they've been here for I don't know how long. But I'm so glad they've stepped out in faith in obedience to the direction of the head and there's power. Friends, there's power in the body. Stay rooted. Step out in faith. Number three, the body works together for growth. For growth. Let me ask you this question. How do you choose new friends? How do you choose new friends? All right? Think about that question. is it usually based on common interests? Is that right? Common interests? If I was into cycling, which I'm not, right, I would join a cycling club. I would look for men who love wearing Lycra, right, who love drinking coffee after risking their lives on the road. Is that right? That's what I would do. I look for people with the same idea and same lifestyle as me, and I will look for them, I'll hunt them down, and we will connect. And that's what we usually do, and there's nothing wrong with that, all right? We look for people with the same lifestyle, same idea, and they become our good friends, and that is great. But do you know what? When it comes to the church, very different. The church is a mixed bag. We're all different here. Every one of you here, you're here because of Jesus, and you're all different, and we're all different. And this is the reason why God has brought us together here, is so that we can learn from each other. I can learn from you, you can learn from me, so ultimately we grow together. That's the reason why God has placed you and me here. We're not the same. The only thing we have that's the same is that God has called us together. Amen? He has saved us. He's called us together. But you look around, we're all different. Now, I talk a lot about some of you. You love the West Coast Eagles, and I can't stand you. But by the grace of God, you're still my brother and sister in the Lord. Amen? You know? I was up in Penang just a couple of weeks ago with some pastors, and we're all pastors. We're all leading churches. We're all senior pastors, and gee, we're all so different. So different. Different in our fashion, different in our sports, different what we eat. You know, Pastor Pitt, if you know Pastor Pitt, I love Pastor. He's my brother, South African brother. He was struggling because Pastor Pitt, he loves his meat. And we're up in Penang and we're eating fish. And Pastor Pitt sees fish as being like vegetables, you know? And then we move into chicken, and chicken's probably vegetable. And he was struggling, you know, because he missed. Okay, am I right? I'm not making this up, but I'm right, eh? Yeah. And he was looking forward to a steak. And so there was one time when the pastors could go and eat whatever you want to eat. So instead of eating together, we had our free time, and him and his South African pastors went straight to this burger joint and ate meat and lots of meat. She were all different. But here's the thing here. God brings us together so that we can learn from one another, ultimately to grow. There's a misconception out there that the educated, the well-off, the upper echelons cannot learn from the low, the poor, and the humble. That's a misconception. We can learn from everyone. I don't really care what you do in life. I don't care how rich you are. You can learn from a child. You can learn from a student. You can learn from the unemployed. Don't think that you are not teachable. We all can learn from one another. Wherever we are on the spectrum of finances or even our journey with the Lord, don't assume because you are more mature and more seasoned in the Lord, you cannot learn from a person who's just come to faith. We can all learn from one another. And that's the reason why he's brought us together. Because the body, right, is different. And God has called every member different so that we can depend and learn from one another. That's how we grow as the body of Christ. I want you to know that. And so when things do get a bit hairy and get a bit uncomfortable and you don't like the person in your connect group or maybe the conversation you're having in the foyer and it's kind of a bit weird, right? Don't pack your bags and go. Learn from that moment. Learn from each other. Dig deep roots. God has placed you here for a reason so that you and I, we learn together and we grow together and grow into maturity. That's the reason why we are different. Paul talks about this in Titus. It's not on the screen, but you can read this in chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. In Titus chapter 2, verses 2 to 10, Paul talks about the church and how it's so different. And he talks about older men and slaves and younger women and older women and the masters and the bond servants. And he talks about how you're all different and you're all together and you can all grow together. Love each other together. And I look down this church, we're all different and we can all grow together. We can all learn from one another, and it's very, very important. Paul also says this in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 14. He says, so Christ himself gave the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. So God gives gifts. Prophets are very different to pastors. I don't know whether we have prophets in the house. We probably do. And if there's a prophet here, you know, my apologies for not really acknowledging you, because I'm probably a pastor teacher, and pastor teachers, we don't really get along well with prophets because we are more structured people and we want to teach from the Word of God and systematically, whereas prophets are very out there, and that's who you are. And I want you to know that you are loved here and you are so encouraged to exercise your gift here. Even evangelists are those who just love to reach people, and you just know how to bring salvation to the person who've been a Christian for 20 years. Like, we want to receive Jesus every time you speak, right? You have a gifting as well too. And I want to say this, right, as the pastor here, is that there are gifts in the church. And I want you to exercise those gifts, because we're all different. But when we work together, what happens is that the Bible says here is that it is to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up, so that become mature, obtaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. They will no longer be like, what, infants, yeah? And so we are together so that we can grow. And this journey here, all right, is a journey of growth, and I need you and you need me. I want to end off by saying this, is that parents, we are one generation away from not having Christ in our family. Let me say that again. Parents, we are one generation away from not having Christ in our family. What I mean by that is this, is that if we don't make an effort to teach our children and disciple our children the ways of Jesus at home, and they don't meet him and encounter him personally, their children will not know Jesus. So we have a responsibility to learn from them, and they learn from us. And for Sun Life Kids, I want to encourage parents, please, please, parents, make it an effort to get your children to Sunday, Sun Life Kids on time, and get them into the class so that they are meeting other friends and they're growing together, and that they too are on a journey of knowing Jesus and following Jesus. And I know it's hard. We have three kids. I know it's hard getting them out of bed, getting to church. It's like pulling teeth, right? It's very, very hard. But ask God for strength, ask God for grace and wisdom, and try to, you know, maybe leave home half an hour earlier. Just anticipate the traffic, anticipate the drama that may take place on a Sunday morning, but do whatever you can to get them to church so that they will be in community and that they are growing also. Parents with teenagers, likewise, there's a program for them every Friday. Encourage them to go so they meet other Christian teenagers, so they have people with the same Spirit of God bouncing ideas and reminding them of God's truth and not what the society is saying, but God's standard. Encourage your youth to be part of Sun Life Youth, because they're also on a journey of knowing Jesus and following Jesus. Every one of us, if you're an adult or a young adult, get into a small group. Get plugged in. You know, people are leaving Sun Life Church because one of the reasons why they tell me is because they're not plugged in, because they don't know anyone. This is the problem that we have as a church this size. When you get to 300 to 400, this is our problem. We can be a church where you can hide in the crowd, but I don't want that. I want you to know that you are precious to me, precious to Jesus. You are the body of Christ. God has saved you. God is gathering you here for a reason, ultimately to be connected to him as head, right? To have power to serve and reach the city and beyond, and ultimately to grow. Grow in your maturity to be more like Jesus, to be holy, to be like him every day. There are the reasons why we should never leave the church. Don't be a solo, lone ranger Christian, amen? Don't do that. It's just too hard. Find community. Find a church. Let me know how I can help you get plugged in. Let me know how I can serve you better, serve your children better. My heart is really for you. I want to see this church grow. I don't care about numbers. I've never been about numbers. I've been about discipling people. And I believe as you grow deeper, deeper roots in Jesus, loving the church here, you would reach people and the numbers will be healthy. You know what? There are big churches out there that are not healthy. A big church is not necessarily a healthy church, amen? But a healthy church should be a growing church. You are the body of Christ. He loves you. He's called you. All right, let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much, Jesus, that we are your body, your hands, your feet, that you have saved us and you have drawn us together to be your body. And I pray that this bride here, Sun Life Church, knows that, that we're not a place of entertainment. We're not Myers, Costco, or the Caltex petrol station, or a drugstore. We are your body, and you have saved us. You have called us together for a purpose, the hope of this world. So, Lord, would you remind us? Would you bless us? Would you help us to keep trusting you? Lord, for anyone here this morning who may not be attached, Lord, will you do the beautiful work of attaching them to your body, to see them plugged in, to be in community? Or anyone who is attached but are not functioning and not responding to the head, God, would you give them faith and courage to respond, to do your will? And as they step out, there is power. Would you do the work, God? And Lord, ultimately, we as a church, God, we are growing into the likeness of Jesus our Lord, that every day we're more and more like Jesus for your glory, for our good, and the good of those around us. Will you bless us? Thank you so much for this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Would you be upstanding? Let's worship. Let's declare. Let's respond to the preaching of God's word. Let's declare right now. Jesus is our great God.